Hi, good to be with you.
From your perspective, how has the conversation around policing shifted over the last year?
Well, in the United States, it's gotten much more intense over the last year. I think, obviously, the trial that started today in Minneapolis about the killing of George Floyd almost a year ago really changed the way people talk about policing and public safety in the United States. And in some good ways, it's really raised consciousness among a lot of communities, but it's also increased the sense of tension about policing and their proper role.
What do you mean by that last part that you said there?
Well, we have a problem. It's not just the United States. A lot of countries have this, which is people believe that the only way to secure the public safety is through force and state coercion. And that can be a very destructive assumption. If you believe that every problem has a solution in a uniform with a gun and a badge, you're just increasing the conflict between the state and the public. Obviously, public safety is largely about social conditions and the extent to which people feel secure, not only in their own homes, but in their communities in terms of housing and health care and education, food supply. If those things are all taken care of, you don't need policing as much as you would otherwise.
Let's talk about that a little bit more, because, of course, we've heard a lot of conversations around police reform over the last year. But what are some of the challenges when it comes to police reform?
Yeah. Well, reforming police is not a simple matter of finding the bad apples and rooting them out. It's an institutional culture that has become more militarized in the past 20 years. So American politicians have provided financial incentives and direct funding to police departments all over the country to buy equipment that looks like an occupying army. If you saw any of the film from Portland last summer during the protests, it was frightening to us to see the number of people that would show up in Kevlar and riot gear to deal with people marching in the street crying for justice. And that's a problem. And just to say, let's reform the institution is, it sounds pretty simple, but you have to slowly change the public's dependence on that kind of imagery to where they see public safety and community well-being as being a function of good schools and solid, you know, economic progress for every family. And that's just not something you can flip a switch and accomplish. You have to work on many fronts to do that.
Here in Canada, a lot of the conversation was around, I guess, putting some of the resources more into mental health or social work. Are there examples of cities that provide models of what change might look like in terms of community safety?
Yeah. One example is here in my own backyard in New York City. Recently, the city government decided to remove police from the initial response to homelessness. In the past, the police would show up just in case the situation got bad. After some bad incidents, they realized that was just asking for trouble, and so now the Department of Homeless Services and Social Services is the first responder. When a citizen calls, they call 911 and say, there's a person sleeping in my porch. The police are not the people that show up, so that's a good thing. Another example is closer to you, which is in Eugene, Oregon. The CAHOOTS program is now becoming quite well known. There's a good description of it in the Atlantic magazine recently. And that's similar in that they train social workers, crisis intervention responders, mental health workers to respond to non-threatening, non-violent incidents that could involve a mental health crisis, could involve someone that's just seems to be behaving strangely or sleeping in public. And those are all good things. But what we have to do is build a culture where political officials will still support that program if something happens. And if there's anything I've learned from doing research in this area, if it's not associated with the police, sometimes the political officials just run for cover when something bad happens. So if a employee turns out to be a bad bet and has bad behavior themselves, if it's a social worker in a program for homelessness, a city will just pull the contract for that program. Whereas one incident in a police force is considered a lesson they need to pay attention to, but you don't just close down policing after one incident. So it's an imbalance in response.
It's not just as simple as, I guess, the calls to defund the police that came around last year.
No, that's a simple slogan. But anytime you have to explain what your slogan really means, because it's not what the word suggests, I think that's a bad slogan. And I have seen people try to revise it into reimagine policing, which may be more effective.
Where do you hope to see the conversation move forward from here?
Well, I've spent my life doing research on these issues, so of course I hope that people pay attention to evidence, and if we can start demonstrating reasonable outcomes in terms of public safety and social well-being from things that don't depend on policing, I think hopefully political officials will start to trust that there's evidence for that and start lending their support to those programs and not just simply back police.
Thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome.